are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And we are free and available on all platforms. And I'm your host, Jake Mastriani of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rotino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. On today's episode, we'll be doing the Game 3 recap, going over that big fifth inning. I'm also going to be telling you why it's not over yet. Brewers fans should not be giving up hope. And then we'll talk about who should be pitching in Game 4, highly debated topic right now. So we'll get into all of that. Before we do, let me remind you about our friends at Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So, Vinny, before we jump into the recap and break down that fifth inning, because we could honestly spend this entire podcast talking about that fifth inning, I want to try to start off with a little bit of positivity here, because I see Brewers Twitter is falling apart right now. I see the world is crumbling down. I want to tell you why it's not over yet. Game 4 was always a game I felt really comfortable with the Brewers because, you know, yes, the Braves have three really good starters in Morton, Fried, and Anderson. All three of them are really good. I think maybe national media and even some Brewers people really underrated that pitching staff coming in. But those three are really good. Go check out their postseason numbers. They have been really good in the postseason as well. But it really falls off after that for the Braves. And, you know, maybe they bring Morton back on short rest. We'll talk about that later as well. But even if they do that, I think, you know, that can be a little sketchy. And if they don't, then they're talking about, you know, maybe starting Enoa, maybe starting Drew Smyly. They're not good. So I still have hope for the Brewers in Game 4. And if you win Game 4, the Brewers will be favored in Game 5, going back home with Corbin Burns on the mound. I can already tell you my Braves friends are already saying, we don't want to go back to Milwaukee and face Burns again. They're scared of a Game 5. So I still think there's a lot of hope. You know, I get it. You haven't scored in 19 innings, so that's frustrating as a fan. But I still think there's a lot of hope for the Brewers in this series. You got to get Game 4, and I definitely think they can. And then again, I think your favorite, Vinny, going back home with Burns on the mound.
I mean, if it gets to Game 5, I think the Brewers win the series. Obviously, the bats have not shown up at all, really, except the one swing from Rowdy Tellez. And, you know, I try and sugarcoat things from time to time here on the podcast and look at the bright side of things and be optimistic about stuff. But I mean, really the at-bats have been a little bit frustrating. You know, look, I mean, you said it at the end of the day, they've faced three really good starters and then they face Tyler Matzek, who is absolutely nasty, right? I mean, all of a sudden this guy's throwing his slider. It is disgusting. I mean, it's one of the better sliders I've seen. I mean, it's 84, 86, just bottom falls out of it. It's got a ton of depth. And then he's also 96, 97, and he's commanding at the top of the zone. So, I mean, the bats haven't shown up. I get it. I'm not going to sugarcoat that because the at-bats haven't been great. But at the same time, they're facing some nasty arms. Like you said now, all of a sudden they're perhaps going to face Huascar Ulloa or Drew Smyly, and I do believe that the bats should show up for those. And if they don't, then they don't deserve to move on anyway, right? I mean, at that point, it's just like, okay, wasn't their year. They need to go out and find a bat or something like that, you know, in the offseason. So I'll just say that. And I do believe that I think the Brewers are going to win this series. I just flat out do. If this goes back to Milwaukee, the energy, can you imagine Game 5 energy at the stadium? For that game. So obviously tomorrow, I mean, it's about as obvious as you can get for a statement, but tomorrow is the biggest game. They need to win tomorrow. And then I think all bets are off. I think they're going to win Game 5 if it does get to Game 5.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. Just get to Game 5. And I feel really good about the Brewers' chances of advancing here. I mean, it's not like the Braves bats have done a whole lot in this series either. So, I mean, the pitching staff has done what they needed to do. It's time for the offense to step up a little bit here. I think they'll have an opportunity to do that in game four. And then you go back to Milwaukee in game five and have Burns ready to go. I think the Brewers are still in pretty good shape here. I know it hasn't been pretty in these first three games, but I still think there's a pretty good path to win this series and advance. All right, let's take a break here at the top, and then we're going to get into that fifth inning of game three. Just a lot going on there where the game was ultimately decided. As I said at the top, this show is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model of any kind of auto part that you need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle, and do us a favor, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, so getting into game three. Like I said, this game pretty much can come down to one inning, and it's the fifth inning. The Brewers start the inning second and third, nobody out. Looks like they're about to put a run up on the board. You get Lorenzo Cain up to the plate, who had just ran into a wall, but he comes up, scorches a ball to shortstop, breaks that middle infielder's in about halfway. Dansby Swanson makes a great play, diving play, holds the runner at third. I thought it was a great job by Arias to even hold up there. Because, I mean, I think that ball probably gets by 90% of the infielders in the big leagues. But what a great play by Dansby Swanson, who is an underrated, underappreciated, great defensive shortstop. And then the moment of the game. And Craig Counsell decides to pinch hit for Freddy Peralta. Freddy Peralta only goes four innings in this game. Brings in Vogelbach, again, second and third, one out now. Vogelbach gets to a 2-2 count, hits a comebacker, or hits a weak ground ball to third. Arias does go this time, which I guess I get it. Contact play is probably on at this point. You want to try to capitalize on the opportunity. I mean, you're taking out Peralta here. You really want to get it done here. So he goes on contact, gets caught up between third and home, and eventually gets tagged up. So now you got runners on first and second. Two down, Colton Wong comes up, drills a baseball right at Freddie Freeman's face. And Freddie Freeman does make the catch, and the inning is over. Adrian Houser comes in with Freddie Peralta coming out, and then Jocktober happens. He hits another home run off Adrian Houser in this series. He's been half the offense for the Braves in this series. He has four RBI in the series for the Braves, but he comes in, gets a three-run homer. I mean, this pitch is up at his neck, and he just goes up and gets it. So they got 3-0 lead. So just huge momentum shift in that inning. Again, that was the score. That was it. It was a 3-0 win for the Braves. So Vinny, just your thoughts on that fifth inning, just kind of takes through your mindset, everything, the way that it played out.
So I'll just get right down to the point. I don't disagree with the option to pinch hit right there because you need a run. I mean, you're not going to win the game without scoring a run, obviously, right? And Daniel Vogelbach hits a not a hard hit ball, but it's right at him, right? The infield's in. They hit two semi-hard hit ground balls that did not get through the infield. My question is whether or not Luis Urias should have been going on contact on the one with no outs. I know you don't want to go on contact with no outs because you want to stay out of the triple play. That's a real thing. Stay out of the triple play in case there's a line out. And then you go on contact with one out. So, but with the pitcher on deck and you do want to keep Freddy Peralta in that game, you wonder if he should have been going on contact. I don't know. I've been trying to ask some of my friends that I know with the Brewers if he should have been going on contact.
Well, you bring up a good point there. And let me interrupt you for just a second Counsell did say after the game that Cain got an RBI and they scored a run there, he probably would have left Peralta in. Yes. So that's a good call there, what you're mentioning.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But it didn't seem like the way that Luis Urias was taking a secondary lead there from third base that he was going on contact. Usually you see those guys that going on contact really taking aggressive, you know, 1-2, you know, hop type of aggressive secondary lead. And he did not seem like he was doing it. It looked like he was reading the ball right there to get through the infield. So, okay, so I don't disagree with pinch hitting there because Freddie Peralta is not going to get it hit off Ian Anderson. Not even going to put the ball in play. I mean, he's just not. Okay, so now you have two outs with Colton Wong up. You could stick with that matchup there. I guess that could have been, you know, that's what you're looking ahead to. But at the same time, Daniel Vogelback either gets on base or hits a fly ball right there, which he's been good at, you know, the quality at bat kind of, you know, he's just the quality at bat machine, right? And then you have bases loaded now with Colton Wong up. I mean, there's a number of different scenarios that could have happened there that would have worked out for the Brewers there. Obviously, he hit the ground ball right at Austin Riley for the second out. It makes it the decision look kind of dumb. But now you can bring Freddie Peralta back in game five too, right? So that's kind of, you know, the silver lining. And Adrian Hauser is really tough against right-handed hitters, right? So, I mean, I think they had it lined up where they were going to be fine. Adrian Hauser was going to be able to give them 2-3 innings or whatever and keep the game where it was at. I don't have a problem with making the move there. Adrian Hauser is not that much of a downgrade from Freddie Peralta, especially the way that he had been pitching over the last month, 2 months of the season, Adrian Hauser now. So I don't disagree with this decision. You can second guess all day. I'm not saying you're second guessing, Jake, even though you do like to every once in a while.
Yeah.
But rightfully so. You know, that's what we do. We talk about the game. But look, I don't have a problem with it. It just didn't work out. That's my take.
Yeah, no, and I don't disagree. I mean, this is the team that hasn't scored in 19 innings. You got second and third. You got to get a run in there. So, I mean, Council's in a tough spot, and I know a lot of our listeners probably aren't going to agree or with this, but I do think it was the right decision. I mean, if it's a regular season game, you know, you let Peralta swing the bat there and you take your chances. Mm-hmm. I get it, but this is the postseason, and we've seen in these games where one run can make the difference. I mean, these games are low scoring. So I don't disagree with him pinch hitting there either. Council said, you know, he felt like he had a path ahead with his bullpen. I think, you know, he was hoping he'd get 2 or 3 innings out of Hauser and then turn it over to Strickland, Boxberger, and Hader for the end of the game. It didn't work out. And, you know, again, hindsight is what it is, and I understand it didn't work out, but I think in the moment, I think Council still made the right call here, and that's tough to live with as a fan because you know what the end result was, and you know we don't know if it would have been any different. Maybe Peralta goes out there and
score.
Yeah, I'm about to say. That's exactly what I was about to say. They still didn't score, so you know what does it make any difference
still be
there?
Playing yeah, right now.
So
game's in the 28th inning right now.
All right. Exactly. So you got to score to win. So, I mean, again, even if Peralta comes back out, I mean, yeah, maybe he keeps the Braves off the board there, but the Brewers have to score and they didn't. They had 9 innings and still couldn't score. So it really didn't make a difference there. But I'm not going to defend this offense. They have been bad. You know, I've made the point that the Braves pitching, I think, was underrated coming in. I mean, again, go check the stats of Morton and Fried and Anderson, especially in the postseason, what they've done the last couple of years. They are really good. But I'll say this. Today, the Brewers had some tough luck. They had 5 of the 6 hardest hit balls in this game, and they did get hits on those. They got 2 singles and a double out of that. They also had the double play, which was big off of Christian Yelich's bat. In the 7th inning, that was a hard hit ball. In that 5th inning alone, that ball that Kane hit was 101 miles per hour. The line drive from Wong was hit at 100.8 miles per hour. And then the ball that Abisel Garcia hit to begin the 9th inning, I mean, that ball was hit 104 miles per hour, and Austin Riley just jumped up and snagged it. I mean, that would have been a leadoff double, could have potentially got a rally going. So there was some tough luck for the Brewers here. There are even a couple of foul balls that were just foul in this one. So some tough luck for the Brewers here too, Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, but look, at the end of the day, you just got to get the job done. I get it. There was some hard hit balls. You just got to get the job done with runners in scoring position. You got to somehow, you know, just have more consistent. The Brewers offense really took off when they all had consistent quality at bats. I know that's easier said than done, but it seemed like at times, especially Evisel Garcia early in the game, just like swinging it with two strike changeups, like way in off the plate balls that are almost hitting him. You know, and I know he's trying to shorten up and trying to follow those pitches off. And I'm not singling him out. I'm just saying, like, as a whole, on the whole, I think the team just struggled with, you know, really having those consistent quality at-bats and missing mistakes as well, right? I mean, we heard that yesterday, like balls that were mistakes that you're not going to get to hit very often off pitchers that are really good, like those three certainly are. But just kind of fouling some of those pitches off and just fouling them straight back and just missing. You know, I think they're pressing at this point. And when you're not pressing and you're just kind of focused on competing against the pitcher, those balls do get squared up a little bit more often. There's a ton of pressure on them. When these at-bats kind of snowball on these guys and a bunch of, you know, at-bats in a row that are not fruitful with either getting on base or, you know, getting a hit or even hitting a ball hard, it turns into a situation where you start to press a little bit. You try and you squeeze the bat a little bit harder. You tense up just a hair. To me, Garcia looked super tense at the plate today, just on TV, just looked a little bit more crunched over, a little bit more crouched. His shoulders look real tight and just, you know, again, I'm not singling him out, but it just seemed like on the whole, that's the feel I got from this offensive group. So you need to relax and just get some runs on the board tomorrow. That's for sure.
Yeah. One run. Let's start small, but I mean, yeah. And what's surprising to me too, is they're not getting to this Braves bullpen. You know, that's where I thought the key would be in the series. You know, I knew the Braves starting pitchings would be good, but what I thought would be the difference was I thought the Brewers would get to their bullpen, and they just haven't done that yet. And they've had opportunities, even in this game in the seventh, you had a leadoff double and what I thought was a great at bat from Eduardo Escobar, who didn't get to start, by the way, Luis Urias did, which I don't disagree with that decision either. Urias keeps getting on base, so I think you got to have him in the lineup, but Escobar had a great at bat, fought off some tough pitches against Matzik, and then laced a double to lead off that inning. But then he doesn't come around to score. And then in the eighth inning, you get a leadoff walk, and then you got two on with one out, and you don't get a run there. So not able to get that big hit against this bullpen. I mean, I just feel like it's a domino effect here. You just need somebody to get that big hit, and then I feel like this offense will get rolling, but unable to do that as of yet. Vinny, I just want to talk about two more plays in this game. One of them, this is probably more for the Braves side of things, but what a boneheaded play by Adam Duvall, I believe in the second inning. They had first and third, one out. Looks like they were going to be able to get a run across, an early run across Peralta, and you know how big those early runs are. And Duvall decides to tag up from first. Heads up play by Yelich comes in, makes a good throw to second, and they get Duvall out before the runner scores from third. Vinny, I thought that was going to change this entire game. I mean, I was at the stadium. It took the entire air out of that stadium. I wasn't even looking at Duvall. Everybody was already clapping. They were watching Riley cross home plate, then he got an early 1-0 run. And then Duvall gets tagged out, and the run doesn't score. I mean, just – a dumb play by Duvall, but also a heads up play by Yelich as well to go to second there.
Totally shocked. Yeah, I think it shocked everybody. Yeah, it was kind of usually what you do as a base runner is you just watch to see where that throw goes. As soon as that throw starts coming in the direction of second base, you just shut it down and scamper back to first base. So very boneheaded play, very much so. It was shocking to me. I was I was like, wow. I tweeted out, wow. Like that was, I felt like the Brewers were going to win that game because of the momentum shift. But then, pat on the back to Ian Anderson for coming right back that next inning and just totally like shutting the door on any kind of momentum that the Brewers we're having going into or after that play. So that was it. That was a huge momentum shift and then a stop of the momentum after Ian Anderson was able to shut them down. So I think that was the game right there. I did not feel good about the game after that happened. And then the Brewers couldn't do anything with that momentum.
Yeah. I mean, the Brewers did have, you know, 8-9-1 come up that inning, but yeah, I agree. Anderson come back out there because I mean, I'll tell you again, I was in the stadium. I mean, the air was just sucked out of it. Everybody was excited on their feet. They thought the Braves had taken an early lead. And that happens. And I mean, you can't explain it unless you're there. It's just like dead air in the entire stadium. But yeah, then Anderson comes back up, comes back out, three up, three down. And that really did kind of settle things back in. Kind of, I don't want to know that. The momentum was still even at that point, but it wasn't such a somber feeling in the stadium once he came back in there and got, I guess you call it a shutdown inning after the momentum had shifted there. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was the almost catch by Lorenzo Cain. I mean, I love Lorenzo Cain. To have the guts to go and try to make that catch. I mean, the ball was hit. I'm thinking, at first I thought it was gone. And then I thought, okay, well, it's going to be a double off the wall. And the next thing I know, Lorenzo Cain is going full speed, reaching his hand down, has it in his glove, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he just made the most amazing catch ever. And then unfortunately it pops out as he falls down. But I mean, just the guts by Kane.
I mean, I'm with you. I mean, when you watch this guy play center field, at times he takes choppy routes and has, you know, kind of like just a hair delayed jumps at times, right? But that's what this guy does. He makes up for things with his speed and with his mental, like, will to catch baseballs, right? He plays with such an intensity when he's out there in center field. Like, that's what you saw right there, that kind of intensity that he's going to catch anything and everything hit in his direction. He almost ran that ball down. He did run that ball down, but the fence kind of jarred it loose. I mean, he's lucky, obviously, he didn't break a collarbone or a wrist or whatever. I mean, there was no letting up into that stride, and he runs straight into a wall. Insane. Yeah, and then he stays crazy in the game. So he did get lucky not to get hurt. But yeah, I mean, the Brewers ended up not having to give up a run there either. But that's just kind of what I'm talking about with this Braves lineup. That's, you just don't feel good unless you get some runs on the board and get some. You just feel like something is coming from them during the course of a game. Like, mistakes get hit by this club, right? That was a mistake left out over the plate by Freddy Peralta that was hit for that triple. And then obviously Jock Peterson did hit that ball. It's just, this is a dangerous lineup, right? This is a better team than we all think. And so you gotta take care of business tomorrow.
Well, I mean, and we talked about it coming in. It's a home run driven team. And you know, you see that all three runs today came on home runs. I mean, they're going up there with one thing in mind. And if they get a mistake, they're going to hit it. And I mean, again, it's not like they've scored a ton of runs in this series either. The Brewers pitchers have done a good job limiting that.
True. But they have Freddy Peralta standing there in the middle of that lineup, just wreaking havoc with these pitchers' minds. Right. And the
Freddy Freeman,
you know, Freddie Freeman. Yeah. I mean, the ability just to kind of draw, you know, lengthen at bats and just be so dangerous. It's like he's always looming in the lineup. Where's Freddie Freeman hitting this inning? I almost thought they pitched around Jorge Soler with two outs so that they could face Freddie Freeman with two outs and only a runner on first. I'm like, oh, I wonder if they pitched around Jorge Soler there so they don't have to have Freddie Freeman lead off the next inning. Obviously they didn't do that. Yeah. But I mean, so you have a bunch of guys that are trying to hit homers on mistake pitches, and then you have one of the best hitters in baseball in the middle of that. So that it's a sneaky tough lineup that this Braves team has. So
yeah. All right, we'll take another break, and then we're going to dive into game four, talk a lot about who should start that game, what the plan should be, a lot of debate going on there. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back out to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, baseball, right to your favorite casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, Vinny, as we record this late on Monday night, we still don't know who is starting for either team in game four. I assume it's going to be Eric Lauer. Kerry Council said that Corbin Burns will not be coming back on 3 days rest. Brian Snicker said that everybody is an option for the Braves, even Charlie Morton coming back on short rest. I tend to think it will be Charlie Morton. If not, then it'll probably be Anoa or Smiley. You may say may see AJ Minter as an opener. But we don't know exactly who's going to start there. But either way, I think it's going to be an opportunity for the Brewers to hit, even if it's Morton on short rest. I mean, I don't know how long he'd be able to go in that game. So I think the Brewers are going to have an opportunity to score some runs here. But let's talk about who the Brewers should pitch, because all signs are kind of pointing to Lauer. I got a question from Eric Madsen, one of our loyal listeners, and appreciate all the listens there and everybody who messaged me on Twitter for all the support that you give us. We broke our all-time record as far as downloads last week. So again, appreciate all your support on the podcast. But Eric asks, why is Burns off the table for game four? Why do they keep innings down all year if not to use these guys in the playoffs? It's an elimination game, and you need to do everything you can to win. I love Lauer, but a lefty versus a team stacked with right-handed power hitters seems like a bad idea. So, Vinny, I'll let you go first here, kind of give your thoughts. Why not Burns here in game three or in game four?
Because you want the most effective version of Corbin Burns. He hasn't done it all year. Corbin Burns is your starter in game five, all hands on deck type of a situation. I mean, your back's against the wall in terms of having to pitch Lauer here. I kind of get all the arguments with, a right-hand hitting lineup. However, Eric Lauer is really good, right? I mean, lefties, righties, doesn't matter. He's really good. He's got that really good fastball cutter combination. I think he matches up well against this club, right? I think they have bigger swings with the exception of Freddie Freeman. And I think you can get in off the barrel on a lot of these guys. I think Eric Lauer is going to be really effective against this group. I think he's the choice. I don't think you should go Corbin Burns on 3 days rest. You don't know what you're going to get. So I think there's some reliability in knowing what Eric Lauer is going to bring.
Yeah, I get that. And I feel comfortable with Lauer out there. I think he can definitely get it done. But, your back is against the wall. If you're going to go out, don't you want to do it with your best on the mound, giving you the best opportunity? Because, Woodruff would be on full rest for game five. You could use him then. So, Burns only threw 91 pitches in his last start. It seemed like, after the first there, it was pretty not really stressful the rest of the way. So, I can see both sides of it. It's just hard from a fan's perspective to sit there knowing your season's on the line, knowing that you don't have a lot of wiggle room with this offense. You got to hold the other team down, and you got one of the best pitchers in all of baseball there. Again, I get Council's view of it too. Like you said, he hasn't done it all year. This is a team for most of the season. These pitchers were pitching on, 5 days or 5 days rest because they had a 6-man rotation going. So not used to doing it, but it's a tough call. I don't envy Council's position at all right here and what to do.
Burns has been tired. Has been tired this year, he's not been effective.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll say. Like, I've seen him a bunch this year where he's gotten into you know, definitely earlier in the season when he talked a lot about his legs, and Woodruff's talking about the same thing. His legs weren't underneath him. He wasn't able to repeat. I think that's really going to affect his effectiveness. That's what I'm saying on that situation, on that decision.
Well, I'm going to say this then, and this may rub some people the wrong way. Then it's time for these guys to grow up, and it's time for council to let them grow up. I mean, and I get it. They're both still really young pitchers, but at some point you got to take that next step to where, you know, these guys are used to going 6, 7, 8 innings and not being so tired like this, because if you're going to be a postseason team, a postseason contender, you need your horses to be able to go deep in to games. And I get it. I get why that's not going to happen this year, because they weren't allowed to do that a lot, and because they did have a 6-man rotation. But I mean, going forward, I'm not giving up on this series again at all. I told you at the beginning, I still think the Brewers are in good shape because they have Burns ready for regular rest for game 5. But I mean, you look at what the Braves are potentially doing if they bring Morton back on 3 rests. And I don't know if it'll work out for them or not, but I think they have pitchers that are at least willing and capable and able to do that because they've been conditioned that way. So it's a little bit frustrating just from a fan's perspective, you know, to hear that these pitchers are getting so burned out and not able to go so deep into games. You know, condition them that way. I mean, we've seen it in postseasons for years now. And I mean, you see what Madison Bumgarner did for the Giants and coming, and you know, you see big time pitchers doing that. So I guess it's just frustrating. Again, I'm viewing it from a fan's perspective. Why can't our horses be able to do that? So I think that's just where from a fan, you know, you get a little caught up in it and a little frustrated, but I understand the decision. And like I said, I feel good with Lauer, especially, you know, depending on who the Braves throw out there. I still feel really good about the game 4 matchup I have the entire time. But again, I get both sides of it here. And it'd be frustrating if they lose this and Burns is sitting in the dugout.
It's fair. It's a fair point with what you're saying. Eric Lauer was 14th in the league in ERA, and that's after, like, a really bad start with, mm-hmm. like, a 5 ERA. So you're not throwing out a slouch, right? You're throwing out one of the best pitchers in baseball, and that's what Eric Lauer is. It would be a different story if Brett Anderson was the option here, mm-hmm. right? So it's a fair point with what you're saying. It's kind of the situation that the Braves are in, right? I mean, so that's why you would consider Charlie Morton a little bit more. Also, Charlie Morton's been there, done that, has a little bit more experience, although he has never thrown on this short arrest either. So
since 2017, when he got brought in to win the World Series, they brought him back on 3 days, out of the, 3 days rest.
Out of the pen?
Yeah, out of the pen, no. Out of the pen.
Out of the pen, yeah, okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different animal. So, anyway, that's my take on it. You're not bringing in a slouch here to pitch game 4. I mean, you'd also be kicking yourself if Burns did not pitch well because he was tired, and you never threw one of the best pitchers in baseball in Eric Lauer. Certainly one of the best pitchers in the second half in Eric Lauer. So you could see it from both sides, but I it's a fair point with what you're saying about needing to extend guys and guys needing to kind of change their, you know, the mindset of both the team and the player in terms of taking the ball at short rest, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure Burns is sitting there telling him, give me the ball. I have no doubt, you know, that's what he's telling him, or at least that's what I would hope he'd be telling him, even if council's having to back off of it. But I'm sure Burns, right, or even Woodruff probably wants the ball, knowing, you know, their mentality, the way they want to win and want to pitch. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the pitchers aren't conditioned enough for it in the regular season. So, and like you said, I think it's the right call. If I think with, you know, a managerial frame of mind, but as a fan's, you know, a fan's perspective, I want my best pitcher out there on an elimination game. So again, I understand both sides of it. Like I said at the beginning, and I'll end it with this, I still feel very confident in the Brewers winning this series because of what Eric Lauer can do. Like you said, he's no slouch, been one of the best pitchers in the second half. So I still feel very confident in him holding down the Braves. This Brewers offense has to get going at some point. I think they have an opportunity to in here in game 4. And if they get it back to Milwaukee with Burns on, I think an extra day's rest at that point, I feel very confident in the Brewers still winning this series in 5 games. So, Vinny, any final thoughts from you before we get out of there? I didn't want to leave you on a just hanging there.
No, I think we covered it. I think we beat that horse.
Okay.
Then some.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm good.
Yep. So you feel confident in five as well. So we're both still feeling good. Yep. Everybody, you know, take a deep breath. I know it's been a rough last 19 innings, but the series isn't over yet. Brewers still have a very good path to win this series. So keep your head up. We'll get back at it at game four tomorrow, and we'll come back with another podcast after that one. But this will do it for the episode, a game three recap episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at shortstopball and Benny at Benny Rattino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast, wherever you get your podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.